Welcome to Culture Unfit. My name is Nikia Riviak, and if you've ever felt constrained by culture's expectations of who you should be, what you should do, or what constitutes good, bad, or ugly while showing up in the workplace, then this podcast is for you. Welcome, my beautiful misfits. Can you believe it? It's episode number 4 of Culture Unfit. I have been having a blast recording these episodes, learning about myself through the process, listening to myself, and trying to figure out ways to tighten my own delivery. It's been a journey of growth for me as well. And I thank every one of you who has taken the time to listen to all 3 episodes that preceded this. You are sticking with us, and the stories continue to come in. I think that's a testament to the relevance of what we're trying to do here. So many people have heard themselves in the stories that have been shared. And the story that you're about to hear today in episode 4 of Culture Unfit is no different. It is a story that is deeply personal to the beautiful misfit who shared it. I think also broadly relevant to many, and that's the magic here. So in today's episode, we listen to the story of someone who is an English speaker, but having moved to the U.S. to pursue tertiary education, received what might have felt like, to the person giving this statement, helpful feedback or a helpful suggestion to help our beautiful misfit assimilate better. And so the story delves into how that made her feel. And the question that we're going to try and grapple with in this episode is how to find the balance between doing a little bit of work to, and I don't like the word assimilation in this situation, but to adjust to the new climate one finds oneself in. So we'll call it adjustment. And staying true to yourself, to your roots, to, you know, the things that help you define who you are. In episode 3, we heard about mispronounced names. And so this is not mispronounced names. This is an accent. And so without further ado, let's listen to our beautiful misfit story.
Hello. So This scenario was actually during grad school. Within the first couple weeks, the language specialist asked me if I would be willing to work with her on reducing my accent, that it would probably be easier if I sounded like everyone else. And I was pretty offended at the time, and I'm still quite hurt by it. I had ghosted her back then, and we never spoke of it again, but I always felt that was a part of me I refused to change. I love my accent, it's a part of who I am, and if I'm being my authentic self, then that's just part of it. And I feel like everyone else can just get used to it. And that's how I feel about so much of myself. But truthfully, there were more than a couple times in the years after where I wished I did assimilate better or could code switch better in that case, so that would be easier for everyone. You know, assimilating sometimes feels more convenient, yes, but in some cases it was also how I would stay afloat or how you would survive when you feel like an outsider. So my question was that, are there times or situations where there should be balance or moderation in presenting who I am? Like, I don't want to lose myself, but does it ever help to pick the easier path sometimes?
Okay, so very powerful words, very powerful story that was shared, and you can hear, even as our beautiful misfit delivers it, there's still that anguish, there's still that wondering, like, what could I have done? And that feeling of, yeah, sacrifice and pain. And I want to let her know, and anybody who's going through something similar, know that often when you have that kind of suggestion that is not about the work that you're doing per se, but about some aspect of you, could be what you're wearing, what your hair looks like, what you sound like, it is often a reflection of the person who is sharing this suggestion with you and their own biases more than it is a reflection of the work. And it is very, very difficult for us as human beings to disentangle those two very crucial dynamics. There is the work, but the work is delivered by a whole person, flesh and blood, sounds, all of that. And so you want to be able to, as managers, as people who want to see others grow, separate all of the things that are distractions that we see, smell, and hear, and focus on the work itself. Now, there are situations in which there is an aspect of the work that's being affected by some dimension of this person's personality and the way that they're showing up, because it is a real distraction, right? So this is where some of the work begins as an individual, to try and understand, well, what is it exactly that you are reacting to, right? So we're going to shift from the perspective of the person who may be innocently just trying to help. Like, I want you to succeed, and I think that this is a distraction, but it's really their own personal bias, and they haven't found the right words to separate their feelings about, you know, these attributes and the work itself. So park that, and let's move to the person who is receiving the suggestion. You have this job to, and I've said this before, process that initial emotion. And in the example that our beautiful misfit shared, it is hurtful. It stings to this day. She talks about initially just ghosting. And for those of you guys who don't know what ghosting is, it's just sort of like totally locking off any interaction with the person, not responding. And so trying to deal with the hurt, it was like most convenient to just put it away to the side in a box and not deal with it, to just protect herself. But then it led to bigger questions around, like, wait, is there something here? Like, if the person said that this would help me assimilate better and sort of fit in better, like, you know, I don't want to sacrifice myself, but is there something here? And so what do we do in that situation? We have to find a moment to ask for clarity. What is it exactly that you're referring to? Help me understand when you say my accent, like, what are you hearing? You know, what is it about the accent, if anything at all? And how is it impacting the work, the quality of the work, the way that others perceive me in ways that perhaps are not entirely positive? I'd like to understand. And so after a moment of processing has cleared, finding that space and time with the person who delivered the suggestion to just bravely ask for clarity is imperative, because we may be assuming all sorts of things about this person. They don't care, they're rude, you know, they're super racist, whatever. When in fact, there might be something else driving their behavior. And this, by the way, goes for relationships at home, in life, in general. There's a lot that happens when we assume. So I think that depending on the answer, the way that you move forward would be different, right? So that's the first thing that I would do after processing the emotion that came after the initial suggestion was delivered. And I think that moving forward, if the person's response is, well, I don't understand you, I actually am the one who has a difficult time understanding your accent, then I think you could explore that more with this individual. You could even in that conversation say, have you gotten feedback from other people that suggests that it's not just you? And then, you know, go deeper, keep on asking why, keep on asking for clarity. Because I think from that conversation, if it really is starting with the individual and that person actually has no indication that other people feel the same way, you can have a dialogue. You could say, oh, that's interesting. Like, you know, like, what parts of the speech are confusing? Is it certain words, or like, you're really not understanding me? And you again, might be very surprised at how that conversation unfolds, simply because you took the time to sort of suspend judgment and probe more deeply. Another scenario might be, same question asked, like, tell me exactly what is it about my accent, how has it affected work, etc., that there is difficulty landing the message with people outside of this person's core circle of, in this case, students, because there's been feedback delivered somehow to this person who has shared the suggestion that, like, we don't understand her. Like, we're actually having a hard time being able to respond to her requests, because when she talks, it's difficult, and we don't really know how to let her know that we're not understanding. If it's that, then I think there is another path forward that may be an interesting one. And I think that is the next part of this discussion that I want to delve into, which is just touching on the last question that the beautiful misfit shared. Is there some balance to be striked here? Is there, when you come into a foreign environment, opportunity for, she used the word assimilation and I said adjustment. And if so, in what regards, in what aspects, and how do I do it in such a way that I'm not totally sacrificing who I am? And so I'll share my own journey, because it's a question that I grappled with when I started working at Colgate-Palmolive years ago. It was, you know, super corporate, multinational company, obviously based in many countries, but headquartered in the US, because Colgate-Palmolive, that was a brand and a business born of America. And I, at that point, thought that I was going to be, you know, something creative, a dancer. I was sure that if it wasn't going to be professional dance, I would be doing something creative and in the arts. I'd be owning my own business. I would not be tethered. And so after having done my MBA in marketing and then moved into this space and was doing well, I had to sort of reconcile with this image I had of myself and my identity and being a Caribbean woman who's creative with very, very corporate America, where, you know, the majority of people looked a certain way. For sure, if you were a woman in corporate America, there was this perception, at least at this company, that, you know, you wore a suit, you wore heels. There were no formal documents that stated this, but it was implied, right? It was very much part of the ethos of success, if you will. People wore suits, and I did not own a suit. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't actually want to own a suit. I don't, you know, I might try and figure out some other way, right? And I chose instead to find my version. And again, this was sort of this was early on in the career. It was not something that I got a lot of guidance on. But I remember, partly because of this and partly because suits were extremely expensive and I didn't have the money, I bought a jacket. I think I had a jacket, like a cool looking one. And I would wear my funky dresses and just things that represented my style with a little bit of corporate edge, right? Like, I wasn't just walking around the hallways like wearing slippers. And that for me was like my way of being like, I'll give you a little bit, because I recognize that, like, I am in this space. However, I'll keep my nose ring, I'll keep my hair short, I'll rock this dress, I'd still be, you know, buttoned up and all that stuff. So it's not exactly parallel to this example, but what I'm trying to articulate is that there is this journey that needs to happen for every individual to really ask themselves, okay, I am me, and ask yourself, like, what are the things that make you you? In this particular case of accent, I have had many, many friends, colleagues who are of Trinidadian descent, or they grew up in Trinidad, they had thick Trinidadian accents, kind of like mine, and came to the US and immediately adopted American accents or American accents as best they could. Because they, when I asked them, when I said, why did you do that? They said, well, because nobody understood me. And I just had a very different view, right? People may have understood me more, but I thought to myself, I'd speak more slowly, right? Like if you know, I am the only Trinidadian person in a team, and I recognize that there are some people in the team who are speaking English, but really it's their second language. And so why not talk more slowly anyway? One of the things that I will acknowledge is that over time, and you know, there is research that shows this, it is not uncommon for us to adopt some of the traits, the behaviors, the attitudes, the beliefs that is dominant, that are dominant, sorry, within the organization, the institution, the firm, the community, the company, whatever we find ourselves in. And that is okay, right? So, for example, people who are introverted in general, when in corporate settings where extroverted behaviors are rewarded and extroverted behaviors dominate, have tended to adopt some extroverted ways of showing up, not purposefully, but almost as a sort of survival mechanism. It's just something that we end up doing a little bit more of, and people are coached, speak up, I want to see you present. And so these are things that if you are to stay into that in that company and thrive, there's going to be some slippage, some stretch. It doesn't always work for everybody. Sometimes you're aware of that and you're like, this is not for me. I need to find another space where I can be fully myself. So I do want to acknowledge that there's some slippage. But again, just to bring it back to this beautiful Misfits question at the very end, how do you know how much to assimilate, right? Like, what is there a perfect balance? I'm going to end by saying that if you're thinking that, right? Like, if you are, and she said this, I don't want to lose myself. Then I think it's on you to make sure you don't lose yourself. When it comes to the accent, have that conversation, gain clarity, but don't lose it. You may have to slow it down, right? Because if, for instance, you got feedback, it wasn't about the accent, but it was feedback that said you speak so quickly that people have a hard time following you, you would have to say, ah, okay, I understand. Let me try and slow it down when I'm presenting. So this is similar here, where you're not going to lose your accent. You're not going to take classes to change the way you speak because you speak English. But if the clarity reveals that it really is some words, then you can say, hey, next time that I'm presenting or I'm talking to you and I say that word and everybody's scratching their head because they don't know what it is, will you just let me know? Because then you've narrowed it down from accent in general to words. But if it's more than that, I think you can say, well, let me try slowing down and just, articulating things a little bit better. Again, you have won in some way because you're not totally transforming your accent and the intonation of your speech. What you're doing is saying, I'll slow it down for you. So there's a win for the individual as well. And so that is how I'd like to close today's conversation. And I hope you found it interesting and relevant, enjoyable, if that's what you're looking to get out of listening to the episodes of Culture Unfit. I hope that any of you who've been in a similar situation would think about how you might respond in a way that gives you time to first react and sort of recognize your emotions, but then most importantly, find the time and space to seek that clarity, because how you move forward wholly depends on what clarity you gain in that conversation. So thank you so much for joining, and thank you to the beautiful Misfit for sharing. I want to end by reminding you that we are going, I am going, and feeling a lot of gratitude for you because you continued to listen. But leave a review, that'd be wonderful. Let me know exactly what you think, what you take away from this. And feel free to share. Let other people in your life who you know can benefit from this be aware that there's a space where we're having these conversations. And if you want to share your own story, feel free to email me a voice note or send it to direct message on Twitter or Instagram. The email is cultureunfit@gmail.com, and we are at cultureunfit on both Instagram and Twitter. Thank you, and see you next time, beautiful misfits.